Why should we not live in sin all the time? Because the consequences of sin. There are natural consequences of sin. Whenever we do something that is wrong, it costs us. And so that's the reason we don't sin. We do not sin in order to go to heaven. We go to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, plus nothing. And so we miss the promise of God when we start adding to the gospel message. The gospel message has to be plain and simple. Listen to the simplicity of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first four verses gives us the simple gospel message. Listen to it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. I remember I was at a conference one time, and the speaker asked, can anybody give me the gospel message? And I said, I can. And I quoted that to him, and he said, you know, I've been doing this for about 20 years. It's the first time I've ever had anybody give me the gospel message. So this young man came up to me later, and he said, you didn't get the gospel message right. I said, what do you think the gospel is? He said, you didn't say anything about repentance. You didn't say anything about living right. You didn't say anything about turning over a new leaf. I said, you're right, I didn't. Because that's not part of the gospel. You make that a part of the gospel, you exclude it. You see, it's either all grace or it's all works. If you're going to get to heaven by works, you have got to be sinless from the day you're born to the day you die. You see, it just makes sense. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends are out of the ways of death. What seems right? Well, if sin's what's going to send you to hell, it just seems right that if you want to go to heaven, you got to quit sinning. That seems right. And we can all grab a hold of that. We can say, yeah, you know, you want to go to heaven? Just quit sinning. Problem is, we can't. And so when we try to quit sinning, it doesn't work. So what we do is we change it just a little bit. Maybe if there's more good in my life than there is bad. You know, I can't be perfect, but maybe if I'm just pretty good. As long as I can tip the scale to the good side. You know what the problem is with that? Number one, there's no scale. But number two, the stuff that we're counting as good, God counts as filthy rags. Our righteousnesses, which is what we would call them, are filthy rags before God. So if there was a scale and we went and put all of our good on one side and all of our bad on the other side, then God would come and take all of our good and put it over on the bad side. And we'd still be in trouble. You see, the only way that anybody can get to heaven is by having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our account. Period. Now we get that when we come to the end of human effort. They that have entered into rest have ceased from their own labor. We have got to come to that place where we realize the only hope we have is Jesus, and we put our trust in him. And then he begins a work in us to change us into what he wants us to be. The scope of salvation is to every member of Adam's race. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything different. You know what the problem is with the people who think they're going to get to heaven by election? The problem is it takes away the whosoever. You see, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As long as it says whosoever, I'm included, you're included, everybody's included in the whosoever. But if you have to be elected, there's no names in the Bible that give us that promise. I've looked all through the Bible, I can't find my name anywhere. If I have to be elected, you see, only the promises that we accept become ours. You have no promise that God elected you. You have a promise that God elected everybody. And as long as we have that promise, we can put our trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. Listen to what 1 Timothy 4, 8 through 10 says. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That, did you get that? Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. He has died for every man's sin, but it does not become ours until we believe. That's the reason he says that he's the Savior of all men, but especially of those that believe. Because once we put our trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross, it becomes our salvation, and we then are washed in the blood of Jesus, and our sins are forgiven. The safety that we have through this promise is amazing. Listen to what Romans chapter 8, the first four verses says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the law of sin and death goes all the way back to the beginning. The Lord says, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the law of sin and death. When we sin the first time, knowingly, we die spiritually. And in that condition, the only way that we can ever be made alive again is through the new birth experience. And so when we are born again, God knows that our salvation would last 20 minutes if he didn't seal us so that we can't mess it up. And so he seals us until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And that part of us is rendered incapable of sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, for whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, but his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. They say, whoa, I can still sin. He's not talking about your flesh. You see, he says to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the part of us that was dead in trespasses and sins, that has been made alive, is now sealed into the day of redemption, and we cannot sin. So that when we sin in our flesh, our spirit does not participate. That's the reason we go to heaven, folks. Wasn't for that, we wouldn't last 20 minutes. I wouldn't last that long, but some of you might make it 20 minutes. But when you realize that there's safety, that's the reason there's no condemnation. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now, when we sin, we cannot be condemned. Praise God. And God has set us free. We are not free to go out and enjoy sin, because sin's poison. You know, it's like I'm free to drink battery acid, but I'm not going to go do it. You see? Why? Because it's going to burn you up. Sin is its own reward. It will destroy us. If I could, I'd quit sinning altogether. I hadn't figured out how yet, but I would if I could, because the consequence of sin. You know, if people say, well, you can be forgiven, but the consequence is still there. You get on a tall building and you say, I've had it with life. I'm just going to end my life. And you jump off the building. And on the way down, you change your mind. And you say, Lord, please forgive me. He'll forgive you. Lord, please catch me. You're going down. You see what I'm saying? There's consequence to sin. You can be forgiven, but the consequence is still there. You got to rob a bank. You can be forgiven, but you still got to go to jail. There is a consequence to every sin. And so the best thing we can do as Christians is put sin as far as we can from us because of the consequence. But don't ever think that's helping you get to heaven. Because when we put our faith partly in what we can do and partly in what God can do, we completely exclude grace and we miss heaven. Jesus gives us a little parable. that little parable is to help us understand the simplicity of salvation. It is known as the parable of the pearl of great price. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Now let me translate that for you. When we're little children, we know there's a God in heaven. The Bible says that the things that may be known of God are clearly seen, being revealed to the creature, even as eternal power God has, so that we're without excuse. Okay, so we know there's a God. Immediately we begin to try to please God. We stop doing the things we know are wrong. We start trying to do the things that are right. We may go to church. We may help little old ladies across the street. We do all kinds of benevolent stuff. Those are goodly pearls. And we collect those things, and we hope that somehow when we get to heaven, we can say, Lord, look at all these good things that I've done. But the Lord says, many people will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works, but I'll say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Key words, work there. So we got all these goodly pearls, but then we see the one pearl of great price. And that's the true gospel. Now we buy these pearls with faith. You see that? I'm trusting that my going to church is going to get me something. I trust that me being a benevolent person is going to get me a little closer to God. And I'm trusting all that. I don't have enough faith to keep trusting all of that and purchase that one pearl of great price. So what I have to do is liquidate all my faith. And I no longer trust anything that I have done. I no longer trust any works that I have done. I count that all totally refuge. And put all my faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the devil only has to get us to mix a little bit of works in with our salvation to send us to hell. That's all he's got to do. When you study theology, they want to categorize everybody as Arminian or Calvinist, one or the other. I remember first time I faced that, a couple of the older fellows in Bible college asked me, are you Arminian or Calvinist? I said, no. They said, what do you mean, no? You got to be one or the other. I said, no, you don't, because I'm not. You see, the Arminian view is that if you get saved and then you go back and you sin, you lose your salvation. I'm not that. And the Calvinistic view is that if you get saved and then you go back and sin, you didn't really get saved. I'm not that either. I'm going to tell you what the truth is. The truth is, if you put your trust in Jesus and Him alone, He seals you into the day of redemption. You have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You still got your flesh to contend with. But nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's the truth. And you see, folks, we can't let the devil lead us astray one way or the other. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. It's not because I'm such a good person, because I'm not. It's not because I have quit sinning. I wish I could, but I haven't. It's because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins. And I'm trusting Him with everything I've got. I like that old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You see, it is that faith in Him and Him alone that saves. That's the reason Jesus said the way into heaven is narrow. And few there be that find. Because the way to destruction is broad, and many there be that go in therein. Most people that we know will go to hell when they die. It's not because they're bad people either. There's some really good people going to go to hell. Some real moral people are going to go to hell. And there's going to be some rascals like me make it to heaven. Because it's not determined by how we live, but by who we trust. preaching of the word has to be clear and precise when it comes to salvation. Listen to what he says here in verse 2 of our text. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, the gospel message can come to you and you never believe it, and it will not profit you. Just because you hear the gospel doesn't save you. You have to believe the gospel and trust Jesus to save you and Him alone. The necessity of the preaching of the gospel is laid out for us in Romans chapter 13, chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me show you what I'm talking about here. It is necessary that the gospel message be presented. Now you don't have to be a preacher to present the gospel message. That's not what he's saying. You have to tell the gospel message. There are those who say that you can't believe in Jesus till after you're saved, and then you start believing in Jesus. That's hogwash. You're not going to get saved until you believe in Jesus. You see, faith comes through the hearing of the gospel message. If you hear that Jesus died for your sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried the third day, he rose from the dead according to the Scripture, and you don't believe that, you stay lost. But if you believe that, you put your trust in that, then you're saved. Now, the faith with which you believe is created in your heart through the hearing of the gospel. Everybody got that? That's where faith comes from. That's the reason the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Where do we get it? How does he give us the gift? Through the hearing of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the message, we've got the faith, we either use it or we lose it. And if we lose it, we have to hear it again in order to have that faith revived in us so that we can then have another opportunity to be saved. The need is laid out in 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 21. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Now here's what he's saying. You're not going to figure out your way to heaven. No matter how smart you are, you're just not going to figure it out on your own. It has to be through the foolishness of preaching. Now why does he say foolishness of preaching? It's because the preaching of the gospel is foolish to those who don't believe. And it is laid out so that faith is created. And sometimes we preach and we share the gospel for no other reason than for it to be used in their condemnation when they stand before God. They say, well, I didn't know. Yes, you did. You heard. But we need the gospel message because that's what creates faith. You can tell people to be good. You can tell them to turn over a new leaf. You do all that. You can get them cleaned up. They're still lost. But the gospel message creates something in the heart that will say, I have seen, sadly, have in their mind what the gospel says. And no matter what you say, what they're hearing is what they've already got in their mind. Very dangerous. You see, we have to be very careful not to harden our heart when we hear the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit will tell us what truth is. The Holy Spirit will give us that truth. And if we accept it, then we're saved. If we reject it, we stay in our lost condition. Now here's some good news for you. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Folks, the greatest position you will ever have in this world is a sinner saved by grace. You're going to be a sinner till you die. But a sinner saved by grace is one waiting for the Lord to come back and take us to heaven. The life that we live after we're saved is going to determine some reward in heaven, whatever that means. But our soul is sealed for heaven when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And I praise God for that. I'm glad that Jesus came to save us sinners. Amen. Because we would have no hope. If you had to get right with God before you got saved, we'd all go to hell. I've been a Christian for over 60 years. I still haven't got right. You're just not going to get right until we die. One of these days, I'm going to be perfect. And that's when six of my friends carry me by the handles and put me in the ground. Then I'm going to be perfect. I'm not going to have a sinful nature anymore, praise God. Now, what's the problem? Well, let's look at the problem. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The gospel message is for everybody. Anybody can be saved anywhere, anytime, any condition. But you have to believe that. You see, if you don't believe, it doesn't work. You have to believe that what Jesus did on the cross was enough to save. And the problem is, people rely on everything else. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And that's the only way to get to heaven. What's the problem? Well, neglected preaching. Listen to Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. How do we let the gospel message slip? We have a tremendous responsibility to pass on the truth to the next generation. Amen? Our children need to be taught the truth. Our children need to understand the clear gospel message. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Had a deacon come to me one time and said, that verse is not true. So why do you say that? He said, I taught my daughter how to live, and she sinned. I said, do you sin? He said, well, sure I sin. I said, well, how do you think a sinner is going to train a sinner not to sin? It's not going to happen. You see, that verse is not saying train up a child in the way they should go and they won't sin. You train up a child in the way they should go and they won't depart from it. Well, what is the way they should go? Well, how do you go? What do when you sin? You run to Jesus just as fast as you can. You say, Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me. And he'll restore you. You teach your children that. And whenever they sin, they run to Jesus. See, they're not going to be swayed by other doctrine if you tell them the truth. But we gotta teach our children. Listen, the devil wants to destroy your children and send them to hell. Amen? That's what he wants. And so we have got to make sure they understand the truth. They have to know the truth so that the truth will set them free. The greatest influence that anybody is ever going to have on a person is going to be the parents of that person. And it's going to happen early on. By the time they're 6 or 7, most of what they're going to believe is being established. We have an opportunity with our children. We have to be very careful who we let teach our children. We have to be very careful what we let our children get mixed up in. Because the devil is everywhere trying to tear down everything that God wants to build in them. You have to watch what they watch on television. Be careful about what they read. Because everything is designed to steal their minds away from the truth. I believe that we're going to be responsible before God for generations that come after us if we're not faithful. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the true vine and the Father is the husband. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I believe what he's talking about there is that branch is a family line. Here you have mom and dad. They raise their children. If they teach them the truth, then they bring forth fruit unto salvation. And if they don't teach them the truth, they go astray. And that branch is cut off. The influence of Christianity does not follow them because we drop the ball. It's a serious problem. Let me call your attention to the ark. Nobody got off the ark after the flood that were not believers in God. Okay? What happened? Somebody dropped the ball. If every parent taught their children about God the way they should teach their children about God, and every child then turned around and taught their children, you wouldn't need a missionary. God's plan of salvation is for mom and daddy to lead their children. And to teach their children how to lead their children to the Lord. If we don't do that, the gospel message slips away. The first thing you know, 2-3 generations have no clue. I asked a young man one day, I said, have you ever been saved? He said, from what? He didn't know what I was talking about. Been too long since the gospel had been in that home. And he had completely lost it. So when we neglect it, it slips. And then there's a problem of no preparation. Listen to Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Obviously, the soul is your heart. Okay? Now, these different souls may be there, but they can be fixed. I had a farm in Missouri up in the Ozarks, and we grew rocks up there. You could go out and pick up the rocks one day, the next day they were right back. Seemed like there were just hundreds of rocks. But if you keep picking them up, you can eventually get that ground to where you can till the ground. You see, we have to prepare our hearts for the gospel, especially prepare our children's hearts for the gospel. Make sure that when the seeds of the gospel fall on your children, it's good ground. You say, well, how do we do that? My mama read the Bible to me 9 months before I was born. Every night, we didn't have electricity, so we couldn't have television. I used to tell kids we had to watch television by candlelight, you know. They didn't get it. But all we had was books. And so Mama would read the Bible to us. We had to listen to so much of the Bible before we could have a Zane Grey mystery or something like that. And she would read to us every night. Well, it was kind of boring back then. But I'm thankful today that she did that. Because what she was doing is preparing my heart to receive the gospel message. And about 5 years old, I heard the gospel. Made sense to me. I received Christ as my Savior. You see, when we are prepared for it, the gospel makes sense. But when it's never heard of, then it just bounces off. There's so many homes in America today. The Bible's never open. Nobody ever talks about Jesus. And I'm talking about Christian homes where people believe in Jesus. They're just busy. Easy to get busy. Get in a rut, you know. Sunrise, sunset. First thing you know, kids are off to college. They're gone. They're married. On their own. And we haven't prepared the soul. So we have to be very careful to make sure that when the gospel message falls on that heart, it can receive it. Then there are the new philosophies in life. Boy, there's so many new philosophies about how to get to heaven. And some people just say, well, let's just eliminate God. You know, if it's too hard to work your way to heaven, let's just get rid of God. We don't have to worry about it. Die with just rot. Man told me that one day. He said, you don't understand. When I die, I'm just going to rot. I said, what if you're wrong? He said, I'll be real sorry. I said, well, you're going to be real sorry because you're wrong. You see, the devil has come up with so much stuff, like evolution. Where'd we all come from? Well, we came from a monkey, or we come from... Folks, that's hogwash. Take a lot of faith to believe that. The Bible's clear about where we come from. God created us. And we have been made, and every one of us are created in Adam. And we've passed on from generation to generation. But the philosophies of man are shouted from the housetop. It's taught everywhere. And whenever we fall victim to that, and our children fall victim to that, then it's hard to ever grasp the truth that can set us free. Listen to Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That's scary stuff. There are religions in the world today that will promise people all kinds of stuff. It just doesn't work. But that vain philosophy has inoculated a lot of people so that they feel like that's the right way. Somebody says if you get saved, you're going to quit sinning altogether. Well, that sounds good. I'd like to have a little of that myself, you know. Well, what happens to a person that is taught that? They get saved. They go out into the world, and they sin. And then they say, I'm going to try harder next time. Lord, you'll forgive me one more time. I promise that's it. I'm not going to do this anymore. And then they sin again. After about 11 times, they say, there's nothing to this. And they walk away from it. You see, that philosophy is wrong. And so it destroys the truth The truth is, if you receive Christ as your Savior, He's going to start a work in you. And what that work is He's going to take you through trials and troubles. And every time, the question is the same. Do you trust me in this? Can you trust me now? Can you trust me here? And when you fall on your face, don't make promises you can't keep. Don't tell God, Lord, I promise I'm not going to do that anymore. Don't do that. I did that for years. That's just a bald-faced lie. We don't have the ability to not do it again. You know what we need to say to the Lord? We need to say, Lord, if you don't fix this, it'll never be fixed. If you don't take this away from me, I'll be a sinner till I die. And we humble ourselves before God. And God will do in us whatever He sees fit to do, the whole time keeping us safe in Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. That's not my deal. That's not what I made up. That's what Jesus made up. He says, you come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. There's never a person that is more weary and restless than a person trying to work their way to heaven, trying to be good enough to be accepted by God. He says, come to me. Let me fix that. And what does He do? Well, He saves us. He seals us. Then He starts working on us. Difficulties and trials and hardships are all good things, because they're weeding out of us things that will destroy us in the end. You see, sin, it's like poison. Let's suppose we all lived around a big lake. And we make a rule. Nobody throws garbage in the lake, because that's our drinking water. So we don't throw garbage in the lake. But Brother Tony's a little rebellious, so he says, hey, it ain't going to hurt anything. I'm going to throw my garbage in the lake. So he goes and throws his garbage in the lake. Sure enough, nobody gets sick. Nobody dies. So he goes over and he talks to Brian. He says, Brian, you know that foolish law they made about throwing garbage in the lake? I throw my garbage in the lake all the time. Nobody's ever got sick. Brian says, really? Throw my garbage in the lake. So he throws his garbage in the lake. Sure enough, nobody dies. Nobody gets sick. First thing you know, everybody's throwing the garbage in the lake. And then one day, somebody gets sick. And then people start to die. And now we got a mess, because we can't clean it up. Folks, that's what's happened to America. We've participated in the sins devil has offered us. Nobody died. Nobody got sick. So we just kept doing it. Look at America now. Hard to straighten it up now. But the Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. Folks, we need Jesus in America again. And the only way that's going to happen is if every one of us individually begin to give our life to the Lord. And whatever God says, don't make Him prove it. Just obey. And by God's grace, we can see America become a Christian nation. If you're here this morning without Jesus, let me tell you, He died to save you. He wants to save you. And He will save you if you'll call upon His name. If you're here, the Lord has laid on your heart to unite with us, become a member of New Beginnings Baptist Church, we invite you to do that. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.